This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Looking for advice from a real girl who might not have the answers, but goddamn, she'll try. Just a tip and you'll be on your way with Meg and Batoon on Friday.
Welcome to another episode of Just a Tip, a tangential advice podcast hosted by me, Megan Batoon. Earlier today, I was feeling really icky, so I searched good energy right now on YouTube, which is the wildest thing. Actually, it probably isn't the wildest thing that I've searched on YouTube, but that's why I have a friend here to help me help you, Kat Burns. She doesn't talk. She's actually a mouse.
Meow, meow. I just ate I'm a cat. I ate a mouse, and it's, anyways.
Oh my God. First of all, I'm so excited to have you here. I feel like you were one of the first people I've ever met moving to LA.
Oh my gosh, I broke your LA seal.
You did?
Aw, you're a little baby cherub.
I was a cherub.
Yeah, your agent introduced you to me.
Is that right?
Yeah, I was doing a submission for Tegan and Sarah were doing a musical.
Yes.
And then I just met you and instantly was like, do you like want to act?
I was like, you're yes, like the lead and I love this. You.
Oh, it was so fun.
That was super fun. Oh, yeah, I was trying to figure out how that happened, and you're right. That was
your dance agent at the time.
Yes, and which is crazy because I don't really have a dance agent now.
Well, it's never too late to start again.
I have been making a piece that I hate, but we'll get into that later. This is about you right now.
Oh, goody gumdrops.
You may know Kat from choreographing for Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and virtually every other comedy show on TV. But after a quick internet stalk, we found out that you are unsure of how often you should wash your beanies. Is this true?
Yep. I just washed all my hats.
You wash your hats?
Well, I'm not sure how often. I looked at it. They looked gross and I washed them.
You wash them by hand or in the washing machine?
Just in the washing machine.
Oh.
But I don't know. Is a beanie a thing you're supposed to wash often? I get so sweaty. I would think that you're supposed to do it like a few times a year, but I don't.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I've ever put a beanie in the washing machine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you
should. I have lice.
Well, it just like, do you have Time Hop, that app?
Yes.
Where you look back at your life? I have a problem of like looking back at things and not moving forward. That's another story. But anyways, so it was like Time Hop, and I just always saw this like maroon beanie that I've been wearing consistently for 4 years.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, I've never washed that. And I have been wearing it pretty regularly.
Right.
While dancing and choreographing and just being a person in the world. So, yep.
That's good that you can pull off beanies. I feel like now that my hair is short, I cannot.
Yes, you can. I wear a beanie with a short hair.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you do it like, okay, so I think there's a couple ways you could wear beanies and some give off the wrong vibe. Like, you could do one that's like almost like half off your head. Like, have you seen Ed, Ed, and Eddie?
That's too cool for me.
That's too cool for you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ed, and Eddie had one of the characters who, like, I don't even know how, like, it was defying the laws of gravity the way that this beanie was, like, hanging.
Maybe
by
a safety pin? I mean, bobby pin?
A safety pin?
You don't know their hair. They could safety pin it. And then bobby pin. But let's pretend it was a safety pin.
A bobby pin. Yeah, that would make sense. But it's a cartoon character. But also, there's also one where you put it, like, on your head, like, over your eyebrows almost. That's, like, the hip-hop way. Is that what you do?
You know, the very first thing people describe me as is Soup's Hip Hop.
Soup's Hip Hop.
Me and my hip hoppers, we love a low beanie. Oh, Kat Burns, a hip hop girl? Yeah.
That hip hop girl. Always wearing that marine beanie. I can't. I look bad in beanies. And so I gave them all away. And I feel bad. I feel like I'm disowning my roots because I feel like I'm more of a hip hop girl than not.
Yeah, you're more of a hip hop girl than a not hip hop girl.
Yeah. I would say so.
Well, fun find for beanies is the Army Navy Surplus Store. They have all kinds of colors and they're cheap.
Whoa.
They're like half the price of an Urban Outfitters beanie.
First of all, couple questions for Urban. why, number one, why is everything that expensive? Is there a reason? Aside from it being cool.
Cool is expensive, so cool.
Cool is expensive. That's sad.
I mean,
thrift stores are in now, though, again. So
what is in?
Thrift stores?
Yeah. Duh. Yeah. Come on.
Doesn't believe in thrift stores?
No. They're great. They've been in for a while. I used to wear thrift shop dressers. Dressers? Oh, my Lord. Thrift shop dresses? Why is that hard to say?
Thrift shop dresses. It is
hard. Okay, it turns out it's not hard to say. So you just did it perfectly. Great.
I've been that's all I did this morning.
What?
Is practice how to say thrift shop dresses.
How did you know?
All of my affirmations this morning was just me looking in the mirror saying thrift shop dresses in different voices. Okay, so our conclusion on beanies is wash them briefly.
Wash them when they stink.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, is it?
Yeah, I would say. I think another thing that you don't know how long to wash them or like how often is jeans.
Oh, I have a jean hack. So if they get a little stinky, mm-hmm. just because you've worn them like once or twice or whatever, if you put them in the freezer, it's like a natural antibacteria for some reason.
Do you
it kills
put them
all the bacteria.
Straight up in the freezer, or do you have to put them in like a Ziploc bag?
Oh, I don't know. I just put them straight in the freezer.
You do?
Yeah, no. If you put them in a Ziploc bag, then it's defeating the purpose.
Yeah,
I think
I
you're just supposed
right.
to fold them and put them in the freezer.
Huh. As
long as your freezer doesn't smell weird, then you're fine.
Yeah, I guess that would be the caveat. Caveat. I'm French. I'm so sorry. Okay, as much as this, I want this to be a French podcast, it is not. It is an advice podcast. People write us in with their problems, and we do our best to try and help them out of their situations. Are you ready?
I love to tell young people what to do with their lives.
Love it! Who's the youngest person you know right now? It can't be like a niece, but like someone that you can have.
Oh, well then... You just ruined it.
Someone that you can have like an actual conversation with. Like, what's the youngest friend that you have?
Maybe like early 20s, like assistants that I've met through jobs and stuff.
Yeah.
And one of them was like, she was like having a bit of a crisis about being a personal assistant and feeling overwhelmed by it. And I was like, listen, I know I think you think I'm like establishing cool and stuff. But when I first moved to LA, I was a Paramount page and I stood at the bathroom and pointed to where the bathroom was for the Soul Train dancers. Let me tell you about working your way up, toots.
I
didn't
this.
Quite say it in that sentence, but.
Right.
Basically, she was feeling overwhelmed. And I was like, that's just kind of part of it.
Yeah.
Like in LA, you know, a lot of really well-educated people will come here to start from the very bottom. And it can feel very overwhelming and stressful. And I was like, if you ever want to talk or go to lunch, she's like, really? So I'm a good person. So
and this is all that matters here is I'm a great person. And cool.
And old.
I shop at Urban Outfitters on the daily.
I did go into Urban Outfitters literally yesterday. And I walked in. And I was like, everything just looks too young.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be showing my midriff. I all of a sudden
I'm over it.
I'm aged out of Urban.
Oh my God. What do you think about like 60 and 70 year olds wearing tube tops? This is something I have an issue with. I was watching a show and there was a gala and one of the grandparents was wearing like a sweetheart dress. And I mean, oh, you know what? It was a classic. It was an old film with not Marilyn Monroe. Oh, Marilyn Monroe was in it. So around that era. And one of the ladies was wearing the sweetheart dress and she was like, I would say maybe like 68.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts?
I'm pro aging. Yes. I'm serious. Like everything says anti-aging and it's anti-aging. Anti-aging is all this stuff that we're fed that like literally the one thing that we're going to do is age.
Right.
Right. So I'm pro aging. I'm pro like letting yourself age gracefully and embracing what happens. So I think it's really up to each woman how much she wants to show and how she feels comfortable. I mean, I'm currently like in a turtleneck cover my whole body phase. And
yeah, no, same.
Yeah.
Truly.
But I'm saying if I find myself in my 60s and I want to rock a midriff and a sweetheart neckline, then I'm going to do it, damn it. And maybe I'll have purple hair or something. If I'm feeling myself at that age, I've accomplished the things I want to do. I want to feel vibrant and strange. And my mom's around that age. And she's like, the weirdest thing about getting older is that nobody cares. Nobody looks at you. You're invisible. She's like, you're invisible. I was like, Mom, that's not true. But and then she came to see our Crazy Ex special. And then it was Mom and Dad. And I was like, it was just like added a place in Eagle Rock, like a pinball hot dog place. So you could imagine the hipsters that were there.
Yeah.
And I was like, I dare you guys to slow dance to this song. Because they were playing like 1960s songs.
Right.
And they were like, oh my God, that's... I was like, I was like, Malou, mom, you said you're invisible. Nobody will watch you anyways. And then sure enough, they stood up and slow danced and it was very wonderful and not a person looked.
Wow.
It was so strange.
That is.
But I found it adorable.
That is adorable. I love that. I feel like I right now wouldn't wear a sweetheart neckline. So I feel like that's why I was like, when I saw that, I was like, this is crazy. Because like my grandparents wouldn't wear that. I wouldn't wear that now. So I feel like when I'm 60, I'm going to be really like, I'm going to be like a Banana Republic magazine.
I mean, I was wearing one pieces my whole life. Like I'm a one piecer, even like at the prime of like the hot bod teen phase. I was like, one piece, please.
Yeah, please.
All the way to the neck to cover my chest acne.
I love
I'm so glad thing. I don't have chest acne anymore. It was a phase.
Yeah? How'd you get rid of it?
Well, you know what? You actually have to, since, like I said, I love getting advice to young people.
Love this.
And this is an advice podcast. Well, if you work out, you have to change your clothes right away. Yes. Otherwise, like the sweat and your sports bra, you have to change your sports bra too. You have to change your sports bra and your shirt like the second you're done working out. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's just a really sensitive area will break out faster.
I have a note for sports bras. Stop being that tight. No one should do this.
Hey, sports bra, you listening?
Hey, sports bra. Hey, sports bra. I feel like legit sports bras are like a coffin for my tatas. I want it to be like, also, I feel like I've broken bones by putting a
just
sports
trying
bra
to get
on
them
and
on.
Taking it off.
Why don't more sports bras have the clasps?
Why? And put the clasp in the front.
That's a great idea. Maybe you know what your next calling is.
Designing sports bras?
Designing sports bras, and it can say ta, ta.
I love it.
One for each.
I love that. That is actually, I'm putting that on my to-do list right after this. Okay.
I was trying to make a pun with to-do and tatas.
Oh, that's good.
Ta-do's.
Ta-do's. Ta-do's. There's a Dimitri Martin drawing that I love, and it says magician's to-do list, and then it's got two things that says to-do, ta-da. And it's so good. I love it so much. I printed it out.
To-do, ta-tas.
Ta-tas. Oh, there it is. Oh, even better.
Thanks, Dimitri.
Yeah, thanks, Dimitri. All right. We got a 17-year-old guy question.
Ooh. That's here my specialty. Final one thing about being an older woman is what 17-year-old
guys.
Prepubescent males like in need in their lives.
Let's do our best. I'm a 17-year-old guy and I have always wanted to dance. Unfortunately, I live in a very rural area and there aren't any dance studios near me. I've been watching videos and following choreography tutorials on YouTube, but I don't think I can improve without some real instruction. What's your advice for a wannabe dancer that can't learn how to dance? From Dancing Disadvantage.
Oh, Dancing Disadvantage.
Oh,
I have lots
double
of thoughts.
D's.
Oh.
Oh, well, maybe not. Well, on the ta-ta tip. 17 years old. Wait, how old were you when you started to dance?
5.
Whoa.
Well, like my first professional, I guess, class or just official class was when I was 5. How about you?
I guess my first dance class was when I was 18.
What?
Yeah, I was a cheerleader before.
Well, you must have taken a dance class as a cheerleader, or like they taught routines.
They taught us how to dance, but our cheer dances were like
so. Like at 14, you were like robots with rhythm.
Robots with rhythm. That's
but I appreciate a clean dancer who's sharp.
But I feel like when I first started to dance and getting comments on the internet, like doing live performances for World of Dance, I got so many people saying like she's so stiff. And it took me so long to like be able to use my chest and things or like my
makes
torso.
Sense. Mm-hmm.
And so I guess that kind of like burned into my brain that I'm like a stiff dancer. But I think I'm better now.
You're not a stiff dancer. You're a great dancer. You're very fluid and sharp.
Thank you. So are you.
Oh my God, thank you.
Let's dance. Da, 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 and a 5, oh. 6, 7, 8.
Da, 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 da.
Wow,
we are overdue
it.
For a dance session.
We really are.
We need a
collab. We were supposed to do that so many times.
We've been failing it, friends. I've been failing at friendship. I mean, you're a really lovely human who I wish I would see more than once every 3 years or so our pattern is.
We can make this happen. We'll wash our beanies, we'll freeze our jeans, and we'll dance together.
Okay, what was his name? Dancing Delusion?
Dancing Disadvantage.
Oh, sorry.
He's got to figure out how he can get better without going to a real dance class.
So let's talk about real disadvantage.
Okay.
If he's got both his legs and all his body parts, he's actually not at a disadvantage. So that's a bonus.
Love that.
There are really so many amazing dance tutorials that are coming out now. And I'd recommend filming yourself so you can, like,
yes,
you know, get a flow of how you feel. And if he wants to do more hip hop, Dexter Carr, do you know him?
Yeah.
He's been doing stuff, like a bunch of teachers from Playground have been doing stuff.
Oh, cool.
You can kind of go down a rabbit hole of tutorials. And I think I haven't subscribed, but I'm sure that you have like a beginner level. And then also, like, maybe, you know, I think one of the keys to finding your own joy is if there's a lack of it and you can't find it, then you have to create it.
Yeah.
So if he started a group of like, hey, anybody want a dance session? Like a lot of crews like form that way, or like they're from wherever, and they just hung out and vibed out, and you know, you feed off of each other and you learn from each other and you teach each other. And that's a fun way to start, because I'm sure there are other people in his community that want to dance as well.
Absolutely.
And then separate of that, there's a bunch of conventions that come into every little small town. And maybe you might have to travel like a few hours out of your small town to go to one of those conventions, like World of Dance Travels, everyone teaches. And there's just a bunch depending on what kind of style you like. And honestly, there is no excuse. Like I videoed like since I'm old. As I said previously, I'm cool with it, because like old means wise, and that's why I'm here. So, I would like do I guess MTV, like, you know, when they had music videos, and then there would be like the live in studio performance when you could actually see what the choreography was for the first time. It wasn't like cut away to like swimming down to buy a locket from the monster god under the sea. That's not really it. That was kind of like a Britney Spears reference. Like,
yes, of course, I knew exactly what you were talking about. Oh, for me, you shouldn't have.
Well, went
Oops,
down and
Yes,
exactly. So you could actually learn the choreography, and I would just rewind my VHS over and over again.
Yeah.
And also, if you don't have anyone to learn from, then make up your own moves.
Yes, I've done all of these things.
Yeah.
I was from a small town in Orlando. I mean, it sounds like not a small town because it's in Orlando, but it was. And I didn't know of any dance studios yet. And so I did the exact same thing. I was watching people on YouTube, and I would put the laptop in the mirror and press like spacebar a lot and then try and figure it out. And then I would record myself and then put it in an editing program side by side and then critique myself of like what's...
Oh.
It was a whole thing.
Wow.
I still do that now. Like I'm working on a piece for a class that I'm about to teach, and I've been like struggling so much with it. Like, oh my God, I've had like 4 sessions and I hated everything I did. It felt so foreign. I felt like I was forcing it, and I was like, this isn't what's cool anymore. Like, and I just like, I didn't feel like me. And so I went into the studio and I put up signs, and I was like,
oh
yeah, it was like so kind of lame, but I
you
loved it.
You are cool.
Oh. It said, fun is greater than hard. And then another one said, like, is it fun? And the other one said, stop overthinking. Because I would just like overanalyze it and be like, is this smart? Is this, is it like cool to watch? Is it feel cool? Does it seem like a cool person would also make this move? And so I was like, oh, I hate that. And so I went in the studio, finished it, recorded it, and then I replay it on my editing program, and I'll write notes in. So when I'm watching it back, I'm like reminding myself like, oh, change this, like flail your arm, not flail, but like wave your arm out a little bit longer there, or milk this longer. And it really helps, like recording yourself, even not just dancing, but like being on YouTube. I've realized my voice by just countless hours of staring at my face and like seeing how unfunny some jokes were and be like, oh, I learned that that didn't work for me. I think recording and rewatching yourself is an incredible tool to learn how to dance.
Or just keep flowing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't look back at things I do.
No?
A lot. No.
Like once you make something, you're...
Well, there becomes like an anxiety that overtakes the creative process if you're focusing on being cool. And for me, I do use the word fun a lot, or actually for me, it's play.
Yeah,
like
I
if
love
I'm
it.
Feeling overwhelmed and anxious, like starting's the hardest part, I'm like, oh, I'm just going to play.
Yeah.
We're just gonna play. We're just gonna play and see what's fun and sticks, and let's
That's
not worry about it.
That's what I said when I met you on the Tegan and Sarah.
Is that
thing.
What I said?
You said that.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't.
I was
realize.
Like, I love it. I love.
Yeah,
playing.
We're just gonna play. We're gonna find it.
That's so cool.
And then I'll be more specific. And then they're like, wait, I thought we were just playing. You have very specific notes for us. And I was like, yeah.
These are the Sometimes. Rules for the playground.
Yes.
That's really. I love the idea of play. I mean, I think that's like when I get too bogged down with format, whether it's like a YouTube channel or a dance or even the podcast, it's like sometimes you just got to like get rid of the rules and just go with what feels good. Mm-hmm. And I feel like even if it doesn't seem like it's that hard or cool, as long as you're having fun, I feel like that's where the good stuff is going to come from.
And that's essentially what being cool is being authentically yourself.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Past that, whatever.
Yeah. I love feeling like myself. Feeling not like myself is the worst feeling in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you just feel like you're trying too hard.
Yeah, or trying to be someone you're not.
Right.
Yeah.
Ugh. Ugh. I hope for everyone that they can feel themselves.
Yeah. Just feel yourselves. That sounds like this quote from the cabin porn that is sitting right next to you.
Yeah, there's a book that everyone talks about. It is called Cabin Porn. It's very boldly named. And it's just like these really aesthetically pleasing pictures of hiking and, you know, cabins.
I'm so glad you opened it. I was going to just stare at it this whole time and really wonder what it was.
I did that for you because first time that I came here, I really wanted to know what was up. And
how
no
many guests mentioned the book? What's the percentage?
I mean, not too much, but since I did, I count that a lot because this is my experience.
Because you're the most important guest.
I would say like 30%, which is not a lot, but it is more than zero.
It's also just looking right at me. So
okay, I'll turn it around.
No. It's cute. It's all just cabins, guys. There's no naked people fornicating in said cabins.
Well, I didn't page through all of the pages.
Oh, okay.
So maybe it goes a different direction towards the middle. You know those books that sometimes are like double headers where like one way it'll be right side facing up and you turn it over and it's like another. Like sometimes magazines do this weird like double issue thing.
It's like maybe a parallel like universe.
That. Yeah. Do you think that there are other yous in other worlds?
No. Okay. I don't. Let's not talk about it.
Okay.
I just did my friend Michael McMillan's podcast about Bigfoots and stuff, and I was very stressed out because he had a rapid fire question about if I believed in a bunch of stuff, and I don't know what I believe. And if I think about other things and alternate universes and aliens and UFOs and a ghost versus an angel, I'll crumble.
Yeah.
I'll crumble.
I will crumble.
And I crumbled into a pool of sweat, and I'd really not like to revisit it. Yes, I need to go see therapy. I get it. This is an advice podcast. I should decide what I believe in. I get it.
I really want, I should do, I mean, oh, somebody has a podcast that's about like unsolicited therapy or something like that.
Which I feel like every time I meet a high school kid is about to graduate, I feel like every adult our whole lives is given unsolicited advice to,
totally.
What do you want to do with your life? Well, let me tell you what you should do.
Oh my God. I'm over it. Okay. A wrap up tip for this person. Ooh, is there a dance app, a dance learning app? You know, like Just Dance, you basically have to do the moves.
Right.
I wonder if there's like a learning version of it instead of just for fun.
I feel like there might be.
That would be good.
I don't know what it is, though. Yeah. We can look into it.
Yeah. I'll do that on my off time. Okay. Good. Ready for one more question?
Yes.
I'm yes.
So ready.
Okay. We don't have an age for this person.
Thank God. Age is nothing but a number.
I work in the entertainment industry, and my perfectionism has really started to affect my productivity. Is this my diary? It's gotten to the point where I don't want to make art because I can't live up to the standards I place for myself. I always have a perfect image of my head of what I want my work to look like, and when I can't replicate that precisely, I give up. How do you overcome self-doubt and find the energy to finish projects that you start? I don't want my own mental roadblocks to become my artistic downfall. From a perfect mess.
Cute.
Wow. I feel this on a very molecular level. What are you a perfectionist? Would you consider yourself?
Nope, not at all.
Oh my God, let me have your brain.
No, but you actually like accomplish your own things.
So do you.
Well, I have a few thoughts.
Wait, okay, this is incredible. So, oh yeah, before we were recording, we were talking about waking up. So you say that you have a hard time waking up and you procrastinate leaving.
Yes, leaving my bed. That is correct.
Leaving your bed. Oh, I thought you meant leaving your house.
Both things. But the first step of waking up turns out is actually just getting out of your bed, which is hard to do.
Have you ever tried one of those alarm clocks where you
Yes, and I've spent like $100 to be like, evolve, I'm going to wake up to the sounds of a Buddhist monk whispering positive affirmations for me while I hear rain from the distance and a fairy godmother telling me, you will be wonderful today. Just start the day now. And then the chimes happen and then you and then you arise and then, you know, you drink your like matcha latte and you're like, I'm happy.
Is that how happiness works?
No, my morning's like, and then snooze without fail. Actually, no, what happens is right when I'm about to get out of bed, my kitty cats come and get super cozy.
Oh, no.
And they hear me like about to get up. And Wilbur, who's like 30 pounds, is just a human cuddle monster. And and then I'm like, well, I can't get up now.
Never.
He's so cozy.
That's sweet that your cats cuddle, though. Mine
they both
do not.
I'm sorry. Why?
That's fine. One of them I don't think likes me. And the other one the other one is so cute, but he like walks on my face a lot. And I can't.
Well, they do that. That's...
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That makes sense. Okay, that's so cool that you're not perfectionistic, though. What...
I wish I was more.
Really?
Well, I mean, you're always going to want what you're not, right? So curly hair, straight hair, whatever. Right. Or grass and being greener. If you have brown grass, though, maybe don't have grass, you know?
Well, you don't anymore. If your grass is brown, you
don't especially
really
in California, don't waste that water. No, although we're not in a drought anymore.
Which is...
Apparently.
Awesome.
For the moment.
For the moment.
It's been raining like crazy. But the first thing that came to my mind with perfect mess, is that correct? Mm-hmm. Is that the entertainment industry isn't about one person. It's a collective process. And unless, well, even if you are the showrunner of, let's say, a TV show, a group of people are making your vision come true. So at a certain point, when you're hired to do what you do, you're never given free rein to just do whatever you want, however you want it, whenever you want it. There's always a deadline. You have to find what's efficient and still deliver what you're asked. Mm-hmm. So it's much different than if I'm just choreographing. Like, I have like a list of songs that I want to choreograph to that I never have.
Right.
I'm not saying I won't ever, but there's a beauty in a deadline and knowing that you only have 6 hours of rehearsal, or a lot of times 1 hour with the lead actor, and then you're shooting it.
Right.
So by default of that, and maybe that comes from a bit of an improv background too, is that there is a freedom to like not knowing what you're doing until you're doing it.
Right.
And you can't be precious about it or be a perfectionist. And to me also, limitations is a really great creative engine, because it will make you think of a different way than if you would have just had all the time in the world without any limitations. Like that to me is daunting.
Yeah. The only way I can make anything is with a deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Like my creative process, at least for dance alone, is I'll find a song and then I'll want to choreograph to it. And then I'll do 4 sessions of 2 hours each. And I'll hate everything that I make. And then right before I have like a shoot day or a class is the day I pull it together.
Of course.
I hate that, though.
That's okay.
I hate it. It works, though. But
everyone's process is different.
Yeah.
So for me, a lot of times process is like just sitting down and thinking about something for a long time.
Yeah.
And I won't actually choreograph anything. I'll think of like big picture, like what I want it to be, or what is the story saying, or really let the music like really marinate on the changes and what's interesting about it. And then at a certain point, you just have to let it go.
Yeah. I think that this is
unless she's a scientist.
Yes.
Like if I was a doctor, I wouldn't want to be like, well, you know.
Just improvising the surgery. Give
you don't
me
really
a
have to know where...
paintbrush. I don't know.
I would really hope that like if I was getting plastic surgery, that my doctor was a perfectionist.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, for sure. I tell literally everyone this. I also was like working on a book last year and I haven't wrote.
Congratulations.
Well, I mean, I thank you.
Is it going to be half upside down?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay,
the second half is just going to be in gibberish.
Goody.
Yay!
That's actually really fun.
Last year, I started writing a book, and I think the first chapter was me defending perfectionism. And it was like, of course it's bad, but also I feel like it was the reason why whatever I made I was happy with, because I wouldn't stop until I liked it. So I feel like if I wasn't a perfectionist, then it would just be passable.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe
I think you have an amazing aesthetic and you do work tirelessly to get it just so, even with like your calligraphy.
Yeah.
And like seeing like how you reorganize the shelf and obviously your aesthetic with your what started from just your website and where you've literally created an empire because you are a perfectionist.
Yeah.
And it's really amazing. And sometimes the hardest part of all that is lonely.
Mm.
Because you know how you want it and it's easier just to do it yourself.
Right.
And so that's hard because it's isolating. But, you know, as long as you can have moments where you're releasing and not everything has to be about perfection.
Right.
And embracing the ugly parts of life and the creative process.
Right. That's, oh my God, I feel like I'm getting the advice now, which I love.
She's totally crying. You guys can't see it. No, she's not.
I am full on tears. I've just learned how to wrangle my voice in.
She's currently in child's pose, walking herself side to side. She's fine, everybody.
I'm kidding. Speaking of crying, I love it. And sometimes you ever just feel like you want to cry, but you don't have any tears? This is Ariana Grande's song.
Is that really a lyric?
I mean, no tears left to cry. I don't really know the lyrics, but
is that the right song?
Yeah.
That's exactly how she sings.
Yeah. I think that's exactly the words.
And then she picks it up. And
yeah,
then she's
she literally says, I'm picking it up. That's good, though.
Do I ever feel like I want to cry? No. I think my... Okay, well, hold on. It's much deeper than that. It's much more fucked up than you think. Sorry I said fucked up. I don't know if this is a kid-friendly podcast. This really
is appropriate. Kids cry, too.
Kids cry, too.
Almost more.
100%. And I think being a creative, being an independent woman living in L.A., you have a very high threshold for everything.
Yeah.
And there's a beautiful and sad part to be like, I chose this. This is what I wanted. I'm fine. It's fine. I got this. It's fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine. It's fine. And because you have to be productive and you have to deal with parking, you have to deal with everything that happens in a daily LA basis and the rejection and the disappointments and the babies that get killed from creative projects. I don't mean to say babies that get killed, but it's like a thing people say in LA, which is we should find a different sentence.
Yeah, kill your babies is like is a lot.
Let's think of, can we kill our unicorns? I don't know. They're not real.
We could definitely do that. That
unicorns are not real, by the way.
Do you think
they're real?
No.
Okay.
Do people?
Oh, I don't know.
Not really, right?
Do you think Bigfoot's real?
If I had enough proof, I would.
Okay. Anyways. Now you know why I crumbled during that rapid fire question.
The thing about me is I'm so gullible. I'll believe anything except that unicorns are real.
Except the one thing I know for fact.
That is the only thing I'm sure of.
Unicorns are just horses playing dress up.
Yep.
I forget what I was saying. What was I saying?
LA is hard.
Oh, so crying. Yes. I don't let myself cry.
Ever?
And so I'm getting to the punchline / the cry fest. So I build up this tolerance and I kind of become like void of emotion, like highs and lows. Yeah. That makes sense. The highest of the highs and the lowest of the lows. I become kind of neutral.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's hard to function with all this amazing news that the next day gets taken from you or vice versa.
Right.
It's a real roller coaster of emotions. So to balance that, I've stayed steady and a little bit void of emotion. And then every now and then I will just have a total breakdown.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it'll be like with Crazy Ex ending, I like cried my face off and, you know, obviously periods are fun for that too.
Right. I feel like crying is so cathartic that almost sometimes I induce it. Because I'm like, I haven't had a cry in 7 days. Let's go. Not 7 days.
Oh, well, that's healthy. Well, how do you induce it? You watch...
Yeah, I'll either watch a person from the army coming back to their family in one of those surprise videos, or I'll listen to some really sad songs, or I'll watch like a rom-com.
Smart.
I love it.
The TV definitely gets me. Like, This Is Us. I'm like, I know what they're trying to do.
I haven't seen it, but everyone's weeping.
I get a little weepy. Or like a Budweiser commercial every now and then.
Budweiser commercial.
Yeah, like those, you know, just every now and then a commercial gets you and you're like, well, looks like I have some emotions to unfold here.
Totally.
Thanks for that.
Dove commercials are the ones.
Really?
Yeah.
What is their current
campaign? Dove commercials are always like hitting you in the heartstrings of what you think that you're not good enough at, or like they really target women a lot because of their deodorant line. And so they'll just like harp on women's insecurities. And I'm like, yeah, but it's in a good way. So like they know that we're insecure about this one thing. So they'll do like a women empowerment thing about that one thing, showing how natural it is and how like powerful we are.
Do you wear natural deodorant?
Well, sometimes. The thing about some natural deodorants is that you got to reapply them. I love what they're about, and I love the smell of them. I just have to apply them more.
Right. That's the trick.
What about you? Well, and your deodorant habits?
She's experimenting with natural deodorants currently, and I just – it's like – It's like if I've been trying to go vegan and I just like see a steak and have to have the steak, but like I'll try to be natural and then I have like a Dove aerosol spray. Speaking of Dove, an aerosol is not the opposite of natural. Turns out, there was like that whole ozone thing that we were really into, like the aerosol sprays. And then I was like in the car, I'm like, and I'll just like spray it like while in traffic. So,
so you're really not contributing.
I'm just a real hypocrite. That's what I'm trying to say.
This is a good time for us to take a break so I can put some more deodorant on while Kat gives us an extra piece of advice you can find at Just a Tip Podcast on Instagram, and we'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Here she is. Back
here
to
she
me.
Is. And we're back. Kat is here taking a break from polishing your multiple Emmys.
Oh,
so sorry.
I just have one.
You really?
I have more. One Emmy and 3 World Choreography Awards.
Oh.
Yeah, meow.
That's so good. How did you feel when you got your first Emmy?
Oh, it was pretty nutty. I mean, I felt a lot of things. Like, I felt overwhelmed and very excited. And I felt very free in the sense that, like, choreographing for a comedy and being able to do, like, a Fred Astaire and Ginger number about, like, the lyric was, compared to your broken condom, I'm plan B. And like being able to play and be silly and to have the dance community support and respect my work was like, what? Wait, what? Wait, really? For me? Me just being me? And it was like a really wonderful time to be like, oh, okay. If things aren't meant for you, then there's something else that's going to happen. And this was awesome. And it also strangely felt like my wedding.
I love this.
Because my mom and dad came into town and I had some friends that came and, you know, you get all dolled up and you go to the ball and there is the ball and we were the last to leave the ball. And it just, I felt like just so celebrated and loved and it felt like a wedding. And I was just, I guess I'm just married to my career. But anyways, it was really special. And beyond that, it was really special to be there with my folks and then also share it with Quest Crew.
Yeah.
Which they were in the very first film I ever choreographed.
Oh, which was this?
When was it?
What?
Oh, it was like an 09 freak dance. It's like a really, really low budge UCB film. Yeah, they were like just won America's Best Dance Crew, and they have like a battle with beat freaks, and it's like the doctors versus the nurses.
That's so
and I'm
cool.
sure they were like, who is this girl? What are we doing? But they're so down and so funny.
They're awesome.
So like, what a special night.
Truly.
And then I got to run into a bunch of people that I admire and have worked with, like David Wayne and Rob Corddry from Children's Hospital, and they had one. So we literally like sword fighted with their Emmys. It was very dumb.
That's what people do with their Emmys, you guys. If you ever wanted to know, you heard it here first. Okay, so actually, I don't know if I've ever talked to you about this, but I think it's so cool that you do choreography with comedy too, because you've always been doing that. Like when I first met you, you were doing improvised musicals. Is that right? At UCB?
Quick and funny musicals. They're not improvised.
Oh,
but yeah.
Okay. And then you have choreographed for truly almost every comedic TV show there's ever been, from what I know. So how did you, it's like not supposed to be an interview, but like I need to know. Just like because it's so interesting to me because like I love dance and I love comedy.
Yeah.
And you have melded the two so well into this is what you do. Like you are the expert and the go-to person for it. So how did you find yourself in that position?
Well, to be honest, like the very beginning of UCB was I was working next door at a clothing shop. Mm. I was working at Native, and they literally went door to door to meet their neighbors, like right when they opened up the theater here in LA. Oh. And so I got to know Walsh and Besser and Jimmy from the booth and Ian Roberts like that way. And like would cool. pop in with Susan as she was painting the walls. And I just like was around, you know, and I was like, oh, this is exciting. And then I just was really drawn to comedy folk, you know, and I was also a professional dancer at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I would take improv classes and my friends would have sketches and they'd want me to choreograph it. And cool. so I just kind of learned the art of game and also how to support the game through dance and not have it outshine or otherwise, unless it's supposed to be like, and then they dance like crazy for no reason. It's like you have to serve the text, which is, I think a lot of choreographers maybe don't understand. And then also just like, you know, that was like in 05, I think. And so we choreographed this UCB musical on stage every Friday for 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. And then they made that into the movie, which is where I met Quest and stuff. And also, too, for me, like, I had moved to L.A. and I know you mentioned earlier how I'm so hip hopped down. I really do love hip hop and I would just take hip hop classes. But I'm 5'10", like really kind of basic bitch white girl, so to speak. I mean, I'm not, but imagine not. Me when
you
I first moved to
shaking
LA.
Your little rear.
I love shaking my rear. Yeah, in the Taboo video. They were like, it was so overwhelming. It was all these, like, you know, amazing street dancers with street names. And then they called me K Flames and they're like, everyone dance in the circle. And people were like spitting on their heads. And I was like, I'm going to split and then shake my butt at the same time.
Yeah, you're like twerking in a full on split. And people were eating it up, of
Give
course.
Give the people what they want.
Give them what they want.
Give them what they want.
Shake that split.
Shake that split. So I don't know if I really answered your question, but it also, harkening back to like what the earlier question is there is a beauty in limitation. Like I didn't feel like I was booking those like hot girl things.
Yeah.
And everything that was like 5'10 dancers were like body conscious, which in dance language is show up basically naked.
Which I did not know when I was auditioning. I thought it meant be conscious of your body, so don't show too
what
much.
What was your like most embarrassing outfit?
Oh my God. I mean,
when everybody else was like sexed
down. You
know down.
Exactly. Oh, when everybody was sexed out. Because you know exactly the bra I'm talking
yes.
about. There's like a bra with like,
bedazzled.
Gold
yes.
studs.
100%.
But other than that, I mean, all of my stuff was like really embarrassing. It was like harem pants from American Apparel and mm-hmm. one of those bras.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, what? I don't even know what shoes I was wearing. Maybe like combat boots at the time. Like I haven't auditioned a dance audition in like 4 years.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with it.
They're very hard.
It's so soul crushing because you go into a room that has 500 other girls that look just like you and they're skinnier and taller and prettier. And it's just like, you know, you don't belong, or that's how it feels.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if everyone feels that way, that like, oh, I just don't belong, because even though you look the same as everybody else in a way,
mm-hmm.
because they're just looking for someone that's like 5'4" and it's got brown hair and can dance. And it's like, okay, that's all of us. Typecasting is also so hurtful, but it's also like, typecasting in a way, if you don't know what it is, basically you go into a room, stand in a line, and then people just go up to you and say either thank you for coming or please stay. And sometimes...
And meanwhile, you can't speak a word.
Nope.
You can't be a person.
No.
You're literally for hours silent, staring at yourself in the mirror and comparing yourself to every girl next to you.
Yeah. That's so trash.
And they can talk, but you can't.
Yeah. I feel like... sometimes it's a blessing that I'm like, okay, good. If it's a look thing, like they're just looking for something else, awesome. But sometimes I'm like, I could probably dance what you want. So what? Mm-hmm. Who cares what I look like if we're going to be wearing masks anyway? Like, it doesn't matter.
I don't know. With typecasting, you're also like, did you not look at the picture? But
right.
But a lot of dancers don't look like their pictures.
That's true.
So it's really hard to tell.
Yeah.
But you know, like I think what you were just saying is like we felt creatively silenced a mm-hmm. little bit and felt different, and that frustration
mm-hmm.
is what drives you to do something different and to create your own voice. And it takes a long time to get there. But that's what I think with me in like comedy choreography. It's like, oh, I studied comedy and I was improvising with all these people and was also a dancer. So I'm able to like legitimize
yep.
their vision. And especially like with Crazy X, for example, it was like, you know, there was a lot of times where the note was like, dance less.
Oh, really?
And you have to let your ego go and be
right.
like, okay, sure.
Sure.
I'll choreograph less, I guess, if you want. Or he would just stand there and sing this point. Or it's just a close up and the lyrics are really tricky. So no dancing. And you're like, oh, okay, great.
Right.
But you have to understand that it's not about you. And same with even an audition. If you're able to like get out of your head and maybe say it's not about me, who knows? Maybe that's why I'm an emotional void.
I think saying it's not about me is a great exercise for anyone.
Nothing really is, because everyone's so self-involved, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, even if they are like the most spiritual down people in the world, it's still about their spiritual practice, and it's not about you.
Yeah. I always forget that it's not about me when I'm like dealing with people where I think I may say something that either is very dumb or a joke that didn't land, or I just come off ignorant or something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm always harping on it in my mind, and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe this just happened. And I'll play it for like months, or definitely at least weeks, unless it's something really traumatizing. But the other day, something happened and I felt so embarrassed for like 3 hours. And then after the thing happened, I went up to the guy. It was in an escape room, and I ran. One of the doors opened really fast. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, they let us have coffee in this escape room, which is not normal because like there's so many like gadgets and things that you could break if it spilled. Lo and behold, something popped out at me, which was just a door opening. And nothing popped out at me. But of course, I'm victimizing myself in this escape room. And I'm like, oh, this is happening to me. And so the door opens because we got a puzzle right. And I bolt. I jolt all the way to the other side of the room. And I slam into three people along the way.
Oh, no.
One of those people had a coffee. The lid opened up. It fell all on my head. It fell on him, another friend, and another guy.
Oh, my gosh.
It was the worst, like,
projectile
liquid
coffee
bomb.
Running.
Yeah. And so I felt so bad because one of the guys was like, Christ. And I was like, oh my God, I hope that like I didn't offend him by me being jolty. Like, that's just who I am. I am panicky. And so for 3 hours, I was like, oh, I think he might be mad at me because.
And also, you have no idea who this person is.
No, I do. He's a friend of mine, but still, like, gotcha. We weren't close enough for me to be like, my bad, dude. Like, I just couldn't like make, I mean, I guess I could have made a joke, but I was just like very scared. And so I went up to him and I was like, sorry for like running into you with the coffee. And he was like, oh, I forgot that happened. But for 3 hours, I was like, he hates me. So yeah, I think realizing that it's not about you would be a great thing for me to remember in moments like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, with that being said.
Unless it's your podcast. And then it's all about you.
And then it's all about me. Before we get into our second act, do you have anything that you're completely obsessed with right now that people need to know about?
Yes. Oh. Two things. One is this lighter that has a USB plug-in. You can Amazon it. And I also found it from the store in Highland Park. But
lighter USB plug-in is what I'm searching.
So it's long and you never have to refill it. You just plug it in. It's a USB plug
that
you
can use it right now.
With anything. Aren't they? Let me see.
Oh, wow.
Careful. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So it looks like a little pregnancy test, but gold.
I posted about it, and then all of a sudden I got very interesting messages. Mine was white. I bought the white one, like a dummy, turns out.
To be fair, it was a pregnancy test. So wait, you plug it into your USB, and then it's electric?
Yeah, there's some like electric current that's like, zzz. It's also very satisfying to like light something with because it feels like magic.
Yeah. Ooh, I love this.
And then there's another thing for the back of your phone that I just bought a new phone, so I don't have it, but it's called an iSling. It's really hard. Like those, I know that there's like the bobbles or whatever.
Yeah, they've got pop sockets.
Pop sockets. So it's a sling and then it's elastic on one side, and then there's two little wire things that fold out so you can prop your phone and look at it. And then you can also just hold it like this. And so literally on set when I'm choreographing, it's like I need my phone in my hand because a lot of times I'll be doing notes or running around and that kind of thing. And I just hold my phone. I've never dropped my phone because of this thing. I think it's called iSling, or if it's like elastic holder, and they're really cheap, so you kind of have to replace them after a while. But I'm so obsessed with those two things. And basically everybody on my Christmas list got them. This is a Christmas episode, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Of course.
Don't you have like my favorite things thing? Where you do like your, don't you have like a list of your favorite things?
We have a second segment that we'll get to in a second that we tell like a quick little tip on our favorite tips.
Oh, well, these are the things I'm obsessed with currently. Like I don't know why I'm obsessed.
I don't often get obsessed. But that's on YouTube. But
that's what I was thinking of.
Yes. We do that.
Christmas time.
But we will just play this episode until Christmas. We're just going to.
Okay.
This is what we'll do. We will republish the episode in a different pitch every week.
Oh, cute.
Until Christmas.
See, we're going to love it. We'll just meow one whole episode. Meow, meow, meow.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's what you mean by obsessed, but I'm obsessed with those two things.
Yes. No, those are great things. I have seen a lighter very similar, but the lighter that I had was not a USB charger. So the batteries were bad.
You don't need no batteries with this guy.
Is this a reference I don't know?
No, I'm just being weird.
No, I'm just doing the
you
bit.
You don't need no batteries.
It is time, Kat, for our next segment where we don't have a jingle for it. So in the meantime of us getting a jingle, would you do some sort of sound after I introduce it?
Yes, of course.
Okay. And now for a segment we call Tip Jar.
Tip, 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 tip jar. Make sure to tip, 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 jar.
The laugh was my favorite touch. It was incredible. One of the best.
I was going to say, make sure to tip your waitress, but I could have. Anyways,
but I
bits,
did
bits
it.
Of your.
We, I love that. Honestly, that's my new phone ringtone. That's the one that's going to get me out of bed every day. Well, that's my new snooze alarm. Tip Jar is where I go to Twitter and I take suggestions, one or two word suggestions that were tweeted at me, and we have to weigh in with our 2 cents on each topic.
Oh, goodness.
Any tip whatsoever. You can take the word in any type of direction.
Okay.
Okay. The first suggestion is denim. Oh, you already did your jean tip, so we need a new one.
I was going to have a different denim tip.
Okay, you have a lot of denim tips.
Mm-hmm. Denim on top, denim on bottom.
Ooh, same color denim, different color denims.
Same.
Same, same.
Same, same.
Finding the same color denim is a tip. I mean, a trick. Whoa, tips and tricks.
Tips and tricks. That mm-hmm. also sounds like a prostitution company.
It really does. Yep, it does. Okay, so same color denim on denim. Okay, my tip for denim is... Oh, I have a great tip on denim. If you are shopping for vintage jeans, a la Levi's or Wrangler or Lee, go at least 3 sizes above what you are. Because for some reason, the way that they're sized is atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
And if you try on the same size that you are, you're going to feel bad about yourself.
Also, as a woman, you can try on the men's sizes. I do that because I want like the high-waisted ones.
Oh, are men's high-waisted?
Well, they're a little bit higher. none of the girls fit me, so I just use the men's sizes.
Ooh, I love wearing men's clothes. That's my thrift shop tip. I always get men's clothes in a thrift shop. Amazing. The next suggestion is earthquakes.
Keep a kit.
What is in your earthquake kit?
I don't know. I haven't opened it, thank goodness.
But you have it.
My mom's actually more prepared than I am. My mom got me a backpack that is red, and I keep it in my car, and it's an earthquake kit.
It's in your car. What happens if there's an earthquake in your house?
Well, then SOL, you know?
I think you need a secondary backpack.
I mean, I'm sure I have a flashlight and water and a blank. Like, if I'm in an earthquake in my house, I think I'll be okay. But if I'm in my car, then I don't have all that other stuff. I bet you there's... I should maybe see what's in the kit.
Yeah, it would be nice to peek open.
But I assume that if she bought it and it's just for earthquakes, it's got to be pretty great.
Yeah.
Well, and you're supposed to keep tennis shoes in your car or something so you can run.
Oh, I don't do that.
Because, you know, like, as a woman, if you're wearing high heels and then you're, like, in an accident,
the patriarchy will get you. Me just wearing high heels on a normal day.
I also don't wear... I'm wearing a full-on, like, floral dress and Vans.
You're wearing a
Vans.
Maxi silk robe, it
literally,
looks like.
In Vans and a baseball cap.
That's balance, baby. A good earthquake tip from me is I think that you're supposed to stand inside the doorway.
Yeah.
I just learned that this past year. A secondary earthquake tip is if you think it's an earthquake, check Twitter, because then you'll find out instantly. Why is that the thing for Twitter? I feel like Twitter is only used for politics and if there was an earthquake.
Or if people die.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know why we all go, that was weird, and then you go to Twitter.
Right?
Oh,
like,
it did happen.
What does it change?
I don't know. Nothing. I guess you want to, like... suffer together, I suppose.
I guess. Suffer a little brain sneeze. Because there hasn't been really an earthquake in a while.
How dare you.
An earthquake is like a earth stomach grumble. Just a little hungry.
Feed me.
Feed me. People. Yeah, there really, I mean, since I've lived here, there hasn't been anything crazy. Oh, I remember one time I was sleeping and I woke up and the stuff was really shaken. But that was the only time. That was like 4 years ago. I was dating a guy at the time. And we sat up so quickly, like that one scene in Home Alone when they oversleep. And they're like, we did it again. And he was like that quick. And then we just hugged each other.
Aww.
And just were like, oh my God, this is crazy. It was very weird.
I just sleep through earthquakes because you know how I feel about sleeping.
Same.
Yeah.
Okay. A chip tip. You have a tip on chips.
Yes. Okay.
So, okay, I'll tell you.
Chips are great, right?
Yes.
So they come in the bag and everybody just like reaches their hand all deep into the chip bag. Here's what you do. You fold down the top of the chip bag as if you would like roll up your pants, but down. And then it's like a little bowl. And then you just keep on doing it until you get to the bottom. So your hands don't get all greasy on the way down.
This is an amazing tip.
You're welcome.
Have you ever told anybody this tip?
Oh, I tell everyone I see while I'm doing
it. It's the first thing I do even before I introduce myself.
Yes.
Hi, have you heard of this chip tip? Also on Kat.
It's my party trick.
I do that with Chipotle bags. I just rip the top off, but I don't do that with like Ruffles.
Oh yeah, you can just fold it down. It doesn't rip or break or anything.
I love this.
Yeah.
That's a great chip tip. My chip tip is eat one salt and vinegar chip per every plain chip you eat. Oh wait, no, okay, so this is what I do for chips and popcorn is I'll get one chip that's like very like has a good personality or like strong personality. A chip that has a very strong sense of itself, like a salt and vinegar or a popcorn that's like a sea salt caramel or something, you know. Something crazy. And so I'll take the crazy one, and then I'll like basically give a straight man to the crazy one. So I'll do like, I'll mix the popcorns, one flavor with a plain one, or a chip, one crazy flavor with a plain one. And then it's almost like roulette. You don't really know what you're gonna get. Fun. And so you don't get sick of it.
They have Trader Joe's popcorn like that. Aww. With the, their Trader Joe's popcorn bag is like caramel and regular or something.
Oh.
You don't know that?
Well, I guess I'm not the only one then. Oh, we've already done this one.
Trader Joe's is very smart. I just was saying you're as smart as Trader Joe's.
So. Yeah. Then I'm Trader Joe's smart. Deodorant we've already done. So we gave our tips on deodorant.
Sure.
We're just flying through these. We're doing a really good job. Okay. So cars. Do you have a tip on cars? It could go anywhere. It could also be the movie Cars or the ride at Disneyland. Or it could be a good something to listen to when you're in a car. Or it could
Cars, just get a Prius.
Just have a Prius.
A hybrid. Maybe not a Prius, but have a hybrid. You spend so much money on gas. It's such a waste and it's so bad for the environment.
I know.
Anyways, I know it's like not as exciting or whatever, but like.
No, that's good.
But I don't know. I just save a lot of money on gas.
Yeah.
Like, period. And that's that.
Have you seen, obviously you've seen La La Land, but the one part where Emma Stone is getting her car.
We have the same car, by the way. I have a mint green Prius.
Oh, was it mint green?
Yes.
Oh.
I think. Yes, it was.
That's right? Cute.
Clementine, it was mint green. I'll look it up. Keep talking.
I'll look it up.
So what's the thing? What were you going to say about La La Land?
Oh, that when she goes to valet to get her car because she lives in LA, she's like, it's the Prius. And he opens the box and there's like 60 Prius keys. That's
exactly.
Truly. That's LA, I would say.
I mean, I grew up in Texas, or I'm from Texas, and it's comical how different the cars are. They are massive, and everyone has a massive, like, Yukon or something.
Right. That is.
Yeah, no, we have the same car.
Cute. Same car. I always wanted a bug for so long. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's not me anymore, but when I was younger.
What do you drive now?
Well, I don't want to talk about it. Because...
Why?
Because
it's a massive gas guzzler?
It truly
well,
is.
Well, you know, to each their own.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. Before I learned about the environment is when I got this car.
Well, I'm sorry. Did you learn about the environment 5 years ago? Mm-hmm. Like, the environment's been messed up for a very long time.
It was actually passed down to me.
Oh, well, that's
no,
okay. What is it?
It was not.
Are they gas guzzlers?
I mean,
I used to have a Jeep Wrangler.
Great.
So that was like, I was actually really broke. And like, I remember being like, I'd put $10 on my Jeep Wrangler to like go to an audition. Mm-hmm. And I would just literally go down the block and I'd run out of gas.
Oh, no.
I was like, I'm too broke to put money in my car to make it to the audition to make money.
Right. Oh, man.
I could have taken the Metro or something, but come on now.
Have you ever ran out of gas when you were driving?
Yes. Also, hot tip, do not run out of gas with an electric car because it's very expensive. Because it basically shuts down the computer of like a Prius and you have to like take it into the dealership to get it restarted.
Wait, okay. So I don't know much about Priuses aside from that they're good for the environment. But mm-hmm. So it's half electric and half gas?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I mean, it's a hybrid, so yeah.
So you have to charge it, but you
No, won't... it's not electric, sorry.
Oh, okay, okay.
It's a hybrid, but it's not electric. Well, I should, you know, let's
I don't know
Google
anything
Prius.
About, let's do a quick...
It's not electric. It does take gas, but it uses less gas God. When you brake or something like that.
Look at my, okay, I'm going to zoom in this so you can see how ridiculous my Google search was.
I'm so excited.
Is Jerry Seinfeld Googling this?
What's up with Priuses? What's up with Priuses?
What's up with Priuses? Is it Prius-I? Toyota struggles to save breakthrough Prius hybrid.
Uh-oh. Well, after this podcast, they won't be struggling.
I don't know much about Prius-I. but I do know that they are good.
It's two different kinds of power. Yeah.
But it's non-electric.
Combustion engine to drive an electric generator that powers an electric motor, but it also uses gas. So, like, if you're braking, it's using. Listen, I'm really good at car stuff. there's an electric thing and then there's a gas thing. They take turns, which one they want to use, and it saves gas.
They take turns. That's so cute.
They take turns.
They work on shifts.
Yeah,
I love it. Okay. Oh, my car tip is. My car tip is to fill up your gas tank when it hits the halfway mark, and then you'll never run out of gas.
Wow.
That was from my mom.
Really? Do you do that, though?
Mm-hmm.
You're obviously not a procrastinator.
I am, but I procrastinate in small increments to where it doesn't feel like procrastinating.
Mm. Like what?
Like I have to do something by Monday. And I've only done it a little bit, but I've definitely thought about it. It's a brand deal video where mm-hmm. I have to shoot like 5 days worth of stuff. And I'm going to fake it. I'm going to do, it's going to be like 2 days and I'm going to just change my clothes.
Smart. Well, I don't think that's procrastinating. I think that's being efficient.
Thank you.
You're using the most of your time, the most efficient way possible. You're maximizing your time.
And thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Okay, we have three more. Let's knock them out of the park. Food delivery. What do you got? Tips on food delivery.
I guess here's my tip. Maybe forget that you can do it.
Ooh.
So you can actually make food at home and eat better.
Wow. That's wildly different than my tip. My tip was to get the unlimited version of it so that you don't.
I just found out you can like pay $10 a month for.
Yeah.
What's one of those?
Postmates. Yeah, I think Postmates Unlimited. I think it ends up being like $12 a month, but it's like $100 per year. And then essentially, you get so much more unlimited free delivery because you've already paid like the one-time fee. I mean, it's like the Amazon Prime scheme of it all. I mean, you pay a premium, but it seems like you're getting better.
And you can just like Postmates whatever,
yeah.
Right? Like, oh, I need toilet paper.
The one caveat to that is that you have to order more than $15 worth of something.
Well, that's doable.
Yeah, but what if you only want like three things at Taco Bell? That's going to be like 20 cents.
Taco Bell for everyone.
Oh, that's cute.
Whether they ask for it or not.
Who would not ask for Taco Bell?
A person in a small recording studio that doesn't want to fart in public.
True. All right. Heights. Do you have a tip on heights?
I'm having a lot of thoughts about heights, actually.
Really? Let's dive into some.
Yeah, I mean, because as being a 5'10 woman, it's surprising how many people like to tell me that I'm tall.
Ooh.
And they always want to comment on my height.
What does that make you feel like?
Just big.
Oh, in a bad way?
You know, it's because they're recognizing that you're taller than everyone else around them and that they're feeling tall. Once again, not about me. They maybe feel insecure because I'm tall.
Right.
And when I had like one of my very first job interviews, I was wearing heels and it was for a production company and I was way taller than the man who owned the company. And at the end of it, he said, just a tip, don't wear heels to an interview. It makes people feel uncomfortable. So then when I came to LA and as a dancer, I was like hiding in the back corner and I still kind of make excuses for my height and I feel like I'm trying to be smaller than I am.
Right.
So I have a lot of feelings about height. But as a choreographer and someone that's supposed to be in charge, I feel comforting.
Yeah.
I feel comforted by my stature automatically just giving me some kind of like power.
Definitely.
Like if I was 5 feet tall, maybe it'd be harder to like spot me or listen to me or whatever, which is a generalization. But
true, though.
Yeah, in general, like maybe don't talk about people's heights unless they want to talk to you about it.
That's a really good tip, I think, because I feel like I am sure I've done that to people. And I bet that it feels that way, too, because I guess, I mean, when people I guess I'm average size, like I'm 5'4". I feel like that's the normal like of American women. I think that's like kind of just very down the middle of the road. But like when anybody comments on anything I'm doing that I'm insecure about, but they don't know, like with food, oh my God, if you talk about like what I've ordered or how much I'm eating or how quickly I'm eating, I hate that.
Oh.
I absolutely hate that.
I apologize before I start eating because I eat really, really slow. Like it's kind of a bummer. Like
oh, really?
Everyone's ready to go and I'm still eating, but like alone.
Do you like eating slow because you like to taste it more?
Just don't know. I just eat slow. Like it's not really conscious. I just eat slow.
How slow are we talking? Like how, if you were to go to a restaurant, how long would it take you to finish like us a big salad? Or steak and fries?
I don't really know, but you could have eaten three by the time I finished mine.
No way.
Yeah, especially if you eat fast, maybe four.
That's so long.
I mean, but it's, you know, if we're talking and we're dinner.
Oh, well, yeah. If you were alone.
No, I still eat slow. Yeah, I just eat slow. I think it's good for you or whatever, but.
It is. Have you ever tried to eat or chew 100 times before you swallow that crazy thing that they say?
What is that?
I don't know. Someone said that once to me and I tried and then I was probably.
I also just think that's a terrible existence, like enjoying food and being like one, two. Three,
right.
Four,
yeah,
five,
totally.
Six. Sorry, I know we're at dinner to catch up, but I'm just on 22. And if I keep talking to you, I'm gonna lose track.
I'm gonna start back at zero.
24, 25, 26, 27. No, no.
That
no.
is
just
wild.
No. Just no.
Just no.
Just no.
Just don't. Oh, my tip on heights is okay. This is I have a tip for this next subject. So I'll just tip on heights is don't look down. That's it.
Unless you want to feel that excitement in your tummy.
Yeah. Okay, our last and final tip before we close out is airplanes. What do you got?
Okay. Recline while you're taking off and try to fall asleep then. And unfortunately, that means you're going to sleep through the free refreshments. But let's be honest, you can wake up whenever you want to get a Diet Coke.
Refreshments.
Refreshments. That's my tip. And also, never bring a tuna fish sandwich into a plane.
Why would anyone ever? You got to stop doing that.
Monsters.
Monsters. I think my tip.
Yeah, you travel a lot.
So do you?
No.
No?
Not really, no. Oh. I mean, like, I go home and, but no, a lot of my jobs are here in LA.
Ah.
I mean, 95% of them are.
Oh, that would make sense. Yeah. I do feel like I travel fairly frequently, so my tips on a shorter flight would be, well, I guess here, I'll do one for any length of flight, is if you feel like you're going down, like.
Automatically in my head was playing Alicia Keys.
I'm going down. What if the whole plane.
Just sing that out loud and that's
your tip. On the intercom, what if that song just started coming on and that was just a little goof from the pilot?
That'd be fun.
Would it be?
You mean like down like your airplane's about to crash?
If you feel like there's so much turbulence and you're very scared that you're going down.
Going like you're
going
to die.
Uh-huh.
Just call it what it is.
Is I think just imagine that you're on a roller coaster because then chances are you're not going down and it'll give you a little bit of like adrenaline rush while you're, you know, bouncing up in the air.
So does that mean you put your hands up and you're like, wow, everyone hands up.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Right. Yeah.
You must be fun on airplanes.
Yeah. Well, the thing about me is I really like roller coasters because I love the feeling of like feeling like my chest is, yeah, still in the air when my body is so far down. And so when turbulence happens, it's like mini roller coasters. So by, you know, the whatever that's called, the power of whatever.
Association?
Yeah.
I'm just envisioning you with your hands up while on a plane that has like kind of a little bit of turbulence.
Just the smallest amount. This girl has a blanket over her head. Yeah, that's my tip on airplanes is just embrace the turbulence. With that being said, where can people find you on the internet if they so wish?
Well, I love a good gram every now and then. Instagram, Kat M. Burns, like Marie, or like Mother, or like whatever.
Mammogram.
Yes. Mammogram.
Yeah.
Those hurt, apparently. I haven't had a real one.
What? I don't know what a mammogram is.
It's just like a giant machine pressing down on your boob to make sure you don't have cancer, you know.
Don't you do that with your hands?
Yeah, but sometimes if they see something, you have to go have a mammogram.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. It's probably really painful. Any hoozles. Kat Mammogram Burns. Kat M. Burns on Instagram, and basically my Twitter is just like my Instagram reposted.
let's be honest.
So that's, and if you want to like do like a deep dive of internet videos, I think I have like a YouTube channel of just like things I've choreographed.
Oh, fun.
So that's kind of fun and scary. The internet's a scary place. I don't really know what I have on it, to be honest.
It's a big place, and it's only going to keep getting
bigger. But you, like, have control of your internet presence, whereas mine, like, well, oops. I get excited and sad things, and then later I'm like, oh, no.
My Google search, I'm glad I'm still alive, because if I was not, people would be very confused with what was happening. If you have a sticky situation or a burning concern, email us at justatipshow@gmail.com and be sure to sign off sleepless in Seattle style so we don't out your true persona. Double points if you mention your age, because that only helps you in the end. Also, if you're looking for more things to do, rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Also, leave anything you want to hear more of or guests you want to come on in the future, because I only do what you say. That's the internet. I bow down to everyone that's listening. Okay. Anyway, bye.
Ta-ta.
Really good callback.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.